So glad to see so many of you here this morning, even though the weather is not as nice as we'd like. Thank you to those of you who are joining us online. Let's go ahead and begin our worship with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to learn more about you, Lord, and to worship you. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with us and strengthen us throughout our week. And let us remember you and let us be examples of you, Lord. Each and every day. We ask these things in your Son's holy and blessed name. Amen.
Greetings. It's good to be with you and to share with you again a bit from the Word of God. If you ever look at a calendar, it's interesting to see the dates and the way that other folks will date things. If you looked at your calendar this week, and you have a Jewish calendar, or it has Jewish things in it, you would discover that yesterday was Passover. I thought, well, since yesterday was Passover, that's what I needed to talk about today. For us, today is the day that we call Palm Sunday. We would assume Passover is going to be earlier, later this week, but for a good Jewish calendar, it is, again, this is the day that yesterday was the day that they would term to be Passover. Our text begins in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This is the month, this month shall for you be the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." This is the first time anywhere in Exodus there's any mention of months or days or festivals or grand events. It's interesting because here are some Jews who've been living in Egypt for 400 years. And you know, when you live in Egypt, you don't really have months like we're used to months. You know, we like snow in the winter, and we like the trees changing to pretty colors in the fall, and the flowers blooming in the spring. We have this whole sense of seasons. But if you lived in Egypt for 400 years, you've got two seasons, hot and hotter. You know, there's not much else. That's about all they knew in terms of seasons. But everything is going to change. Also, these folks have been Jews. These Jews have been slaves for 400 years. If you're a slave, it is not Monday through Friday you work and then you get Saturday and Sunday off. That you work every single day. There are no holidays. There's no weekend. It's all the same. But all of a sudden, God is going to change things. He says, from now on, the first month of the year is going to be, and it's going to be the month, it's going to be called Abib in Hebrew. Later on, it'll be changed to Nisan, but that's going to be the first month of the year. They're going to start their month there, their year there, and it's going to be a new beginning. You'll notice that good old Moses and Aaron are gathered and they're told to tell these things to the assembly. And that's going to be a big deal. Tell them to the assembly. And we read on, tell all the congregation of Israel. Isn't that interesting? Tell all the assembly. Again, this is a new kind of phrase, assembly. It's the word that's translated in the Greek translation of the Old Testament as synagoge, our word synagogue, and other times it's ekklesia, church, but it's the assembly. And also there's something else that's changing here. Things are new. They've got a new year. New year is going to start at a different time, and they are now a people of God. They've been sons of the patriarch, sons of Israel, Jacob. They've been a family who went into Egypt. They are now a nation. And something is different about all of this. It's a change. They are an assembly. And so it is. Israel becomes this wonderful assembly. Good old Moses didn't have any way to sort of address the crowds. It was before Twitter. You know, there was no Twitter back then, so you could just sort of send an email to everybody or emails. There's nothing like that. There was no microphone. And so how's he going to address the whole crowd? Undoubtedly, he's going to be addressing the leaders, and the leaders are then going to go back to their smaller groups and tell their smaller groups everything that God has told him. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. So on the 10th day of this new month that we're starting out with, and again, they begin their months. Their months are all lunar months. Now, that's a bit of a problem for us because when we want to figure out when something's happening, all of their months are 28, 29 days. And so at the end of time, times are going to get all messed up. If you keep doing that and you don't change things, you're going to end up with the wrong day coming at the wrong time. And Passover won't come at Passover. So they have an adjustable month that they will add to make up the difference. But anyway, it's going to be at the 10th day of this month, you're going to choose a lamb, a lamb for every household. And so they're going to pick these lambs. That's going to be an expensive gift. It's going to be a special one. If the household is too small for a lamb, you know, it's too small for everybody to eat every bit of that lamb. If the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you can make your count for the lamb. Interestingly enough, do you see this sense of assembly and this unity that Israel's supposed to have? They're supposed to function as a big family. You don't waste any of the lamb. In fact, later on we'll be told that if you don't eat it all, you have to burn it because you can't destroy it. You can't waste it. It can't be wasted. But you choose according to your family size. And if you're too small to eat it all, call your neighbor in and all of you get together. And it's a together kind of thing. Isn't that interesting? And that becomes important for them. And so they're to do it. You shall take the lamb without blemish, a male a year old, and take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. So, you choose this lamb on the 10th day of the month, and then on the 14th day of the month, you're going to slaughter the lamb, and you're going to slaughter it at twilight. It's not yet dark, it's not yet night, and so it's probably going to be, according to good Jewish time, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're going to kill this lamb. And notice it can be either a lamb or a goat. I think growing up, I always thought it had to be a lamb. But it could be a lamb or a goat, depending upon what you have and what your family can eat. And you're going to slaughter it on the 14th day of the month. Interestingly enough, the 14th day of the month is always going to be a full moon. You see, you start on a lunar calendar, you're always going to start the month at a new moon. And the 14th of it is going to be the full moon, and so it's a full moon. Every Passover was a full moon. And so they're going to kill that lamb, and then that evening they're going to eat that lamb or that goat, and they'll eat it as a family. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Interesting picture. All of a sudden, you're going to take some of that blood from that lamb that you've slaughtered, and you're going to eat the lamb, and that's going to be your meal. You're going to put some of that across the top of the door and down the lintels on both sides, and it's going to be the thing that'll make the difference between you and the rest of the Egyptians. It will be the thing that saves you. It is blood that's going to save you. And he makes this big deal of it. It is going to be something very special. And so God is going to make a difference. And God is going to preserve them and take care of them. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted its head with its legs and its inner parts. And so here's the meal. You're going to have this meal, and you're going to eat this meal as you get ready to leave. Notice it's with unleavened bread. Why? Because they don't take time to let the yeast raise. They don't have time for that, and so it's going to be unleavened bread, and that's what we took as we took the Lord's Supper a few moments ago, because we're remembering exactly how they did it, and we're doing it the same way they did it long, long ago. Got to remember now, Here are folks who have been in Egypt for 400 years. Now, you got to think about that. If your great, 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 great grandpa or grandma came to the United States in 1620 at Pilgrim Rock, and they came in here initially, and they come to the United States, that's how long it would have been ago for them. And so now, here they are, and they're getting ready to leave. They have been slaves to Pharaoh. And it's a whole different world. Everything is going to be new. And in a very real way, I thought about calling this the Passover, the new beginning, because it's a new beginning for them. Imagine, here are kids who have grown up over this long period of time, and nobody ever asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because they're all going to be slaves. There's none of that. And now all of a sudden they're going to get to make some decisions about what they do. Things are changing. It's a new world and a new start. Everything is different. For them, it was miserable to be a slave, but at least they knew what it was like there. And so later on, some of them are going to say, we want to go back to Egypt. At least we knew what it was like there, and at least we were able to function. But things are so different now. And so here it is, this wonderful grand new day. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Again, interesting language. They're going to have to hasten and get ready to leave in a hurry. Notice, everybody is supposed to have their belt fastened. And again, you may, if you have good old King James Version, your loins girded. You got to appreciate this. Ladies can appreciate it better than men. It's like having a long dress, ladies. And you know you can't run in a long dress. And so what they're going to do is they're going to have their belt fastened around their waist, and they're going to grab the garment in the front and poke it in here. And so they've made kind of pantaloons so that they can run. So they're ready to run. And they've got to have their sandals on their feet, ready to run, and a staff in their hand, and eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I like that language. It is the Lord's Passover. Notice the word Lord is spelled with all caps. Lord's. It's Yahweh's Passover. It's God's Passover. And he makes a big deal of this. By the way, that word Passover is an interesting word. It's Pesach, and that's exactly what they would call it today. But the Lord is going to pass over them, and he's going to make a big deal of this. It is the Lord's Passover. It is his. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all of the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Again, interesting language. I'm going to strike all of those folks. You folks are going to be saved. You're going to be saved, and being saved is a big deal. Saved from this death. And it's interesting, I think, that God has used all of these plagues to try to teach the Egyptians some important languages. You may remember that the first one is the Nile turns to blood. And undoubtedly, they're saying, the Nile is our goddess. She's our God. And so, oh my goodness, look. Their God has taken charge of ours. Well, we've got another God. You know, we've also got Re. That's the God of the sun. And then God causes darkness to come on the land. And they'll say, oh, we've got another God. We've got the God of the frogs. And then, guess what? They've got frogs everywhere. And so God is going through and teaching them some important lessons. But this lesson is going to be one that I think is quite striking. You see, one of the things that everybody wants and wanted back then is they wanted to live. They don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. And all of a sudden, their gods can't deal with this death issue. It's, I think, again, quite striking. Their gods cannot deal with death. It's as if God has taken down every one of theirs. And you'll notice that back in our text earlier, it said that God was not only teaching a lesson to Israel, but he's doing something to their gods. He's going to execute judgment on their gods. See the end of that verse? And all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. You see, all of them have lost out. But Israel's God was different. He's in charge. It always interests me that, you know, they had to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And it's really interesting that you've got that blood all there. But it's not as if God had to see it so he'd say, oh, okay. Oh, that's one of mine. That's not one of mine. That's one of mine. That's not one. It wasn't that at all. You'll remember when the other plagues came, Israel didn't have to deal with those plagues, but the Egyptians did. God could see them. He says, this is going to be a sign for you. I am the Lord. You know, it's not folks making this big deal of who Pharaoh is or who one of their gods is. I am Yahweh. And he really lets them know who he is. And so he makes this huge difference in the world. I will pass over you. Some scholars have suggested that we should translate that word Passover as something like skip over or dance over. But God is in charge. And so all of this is going to make a big difference. It's a full moon. For the Israelites to live, a lamb must die. But it's interesting, the plague wasn't there. I even thought about calling this the plague that wasn't, because in verse 13 it will say, I will pass over you, no plague will befall you. And that's the next verse. Here we go. The blood will be a sign for you. You see, that blood is going to teach you something. It's going to cause you to remember something on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I shall strike the land of Egypt. There is no plague. They don't have a plague. They've seen all those other plagues. All those other plagues have affected the other folks, but this plague won't affect them either. God is in charge. Again, everybody kind of thinks they want to do their own thing, but that's not the point. It's going to make this huge difference. This day I will be a memorial for you, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Interestingly enough, next Sunday is the day that we celebrate, as a nation, we celebrate Easter. But in a very real way, we celebrate this new beginning every single Sunday. When we come together and we take the Lord's Supper, as we did just a few moments ago, we're celebrating the fact that we got a new beginning. Jesus dies, and on that first Sunday, he gets a new beginning. He's raised from the dead, and so he's raised from the dead on that grand day. But also, it becomes a new beginning for disciples. The disciples get a new beginning. They have a sense of beginning. They have a sense that they're a new group. They're a new people. The Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would indeed be a new people. It's a new beginning in a very real way for the whole world. We've entered a new age with the incarnation, the coming of Jesus in the flesh, his resurrection, the day of Pentecost. There is a new beginning, and it can be that for any of us. In a very real way, you see this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul will say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. There's something new about what's happened to us because of what Jesus has done. There's a new freedom and a new forgiveness that's ours because of him. In Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And why is that? Well, you may remember that good old John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus coming, he will tell the folks around him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He says that of Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. And I think he's talking about the Passover lamb. You see, the Passover lamb gives something new. He gives them their freedom for the first time in 400 years. In a very real way, we're freed. Freed from our sin on that same, with that same event, because Jesus is that. Again, in 1 Corinthians, Paul will say, Christ is our Passover lamb that has been sacrificed. So Jesus is our Passover lamb, and we've been passed over. Oh, I know we're going to die, but we will die and yet live, because he's promised us that. The empty tomb is there to tell us all about that. Unlike the god, all those gods of Egypt and the gods of our age, you know, we worship all kinds of things, death has been defeated. The grave has been conquered. Our sins have passed away. Passover. We've been passed over. Isn't that a wonderful idea? You see, it was important. It's an important Old Testament story, but it's also an important idea for us to see. And it is significant that God arranges for His Son to die of all times at Passover, so that we'll get a sense of all of that, so that we can rejoice in all of that. We're going to sing a song as an invitation song, and it may well be that some of you who have come to appreciate this wonderful gift of God's Son, of Jesus, that you can appreciate that and you want to respond to that message today. And we'd be happy to assist you in doing that, to confess Him as Lord, to confess Him as our Passover Lamb, and to be buried in baptism and walk this new life. It's a new beginning for us too. A new beginning. If you need to come, would you come as we stand and as we sing?